Welcome to NucleCast, the official podcast of the NY Deterrence Center. Our host is Dr. Adam Lauffel, co-founder and vice president for research at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. The NY Deterrence Center is a 501c3 organization ensuring a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrence and its ongoing modernization. Thank you for listening and welcome to the show. The views of the host and the guests are their own.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of NucleCast. Of course, I am your host, Adam Lauffel. And, you know, I think maybe I'm just blessed, but I always have great guests on NucleCast, and I am not breaking that tradition today. I've got Dina Volivar, who is the president of Bechtel's Nuclear Security and Environment Global Business Unit. And, you know, Bechtel is a key player. For those of you that, if you're in, you know, sort of the NNSA DOE world, you know Bechtel. I mean, it's a sort of a ubiquitous name because they do lots of stuff. But for the military folks, maybe the civil servants, those kind of on the defense side or the policy side, you may not be as familiar with Bechtel and the role they play. So who better than the gal that leads it to be here today to talk about it? So, Dina, welcome to NucleCast.
Thanks, Adam. Super happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We've never had this discussion. We've talked a little bit about, you know, sort of the GOCO model that the labs operate under. And we've talked a little bit about in the past the difference between, say, a design lab and a production facility like, you know, Pantex or Kansas City. But this role that, you know, a Bechtel might play in sort of being the M&O contractor, things or collaborating with others, is something we haven't talked about. So can you sort of explain to us, you know, who Bechtel is and what they do and sort of how do they play in, you know, managing the NNSA labs? And then, you know, you also are pretty heavily involved in nuclear energy. And, you know, this is a time where, you know, the nation is sort of saying, hey, you know, we can't just have solar panels. You know, I'm a native Texan, so I'm familiar with when solar farms get destroyed by, you know, by ice and when wind farms get knocked down by heavy winds. So nuclear's sort of making a resurgence. So talk to us about that as well.
Yeah, so maybe I'll start with a broader who is Bechtel, and then that may leave some scratching heads on, okay, so how does that then dovetail into the DOE and DOE and other government missions? And then you'll have to remind me to talk about nuclear power, I think, get there. Maybe giving a... I'll assume nobody, you don't even know who Bechtel is. So Bechtel is, we're in the 127th year of operations. We're a private company led by our fifth generation of Bechtel leadership under Brendan Bechtel. So we've been around since 1898. What we do well is first-of-a-kind projects that really are focused on all areas of improving quality of life, fostering economic growth, promoting sustainable development worldwide. And so that includes clean and efficient transportation systems like the Riyadh Metro that we just delivered last year, to sustainable energy solutions, whether or not that be combined cycle, liquefied natural gas, renewables, and then advanced manufacturing facilities like chip plants, critical mineral supplies. We have a mining and metals group. Energy infrastructure, like you noted, nuclear power is a huge part of our history. And then, in addition to all that, vital national security systems. So quite a bit. We do what we like to say is we do the hard stuff. We run to the hard. Our teams really are built around taking on what's really difficult and breaking it down into certainty and execution. So we currently are in 33 countries. We've done about 25,000 projects in 160 countries on all seven continents in our 127 years. And we take great pride in that what we do isn't easy, and it often asks a lot of our teams. But because that we attract people that just really live for a challenge of doing something difficult and succeeding where others can't. And those are really kind of my type of people. So what does a company like that have to do with the national security mission and cleanup within DOE? So we have, over the last 30 to 40 years, been engaged with the Department of Energy. And then we really, from various things, but where we really have leaned in and have a strong history up into the, and I'll discuss a little bit of what we're engaged in today, is when the department recognized that perhaps there's a different way than managing facilities themselves, and perhaps leaning on industry partners would be a great way to have differences of thought, commercial practices brought into some of the critical infrastructure and production needs, and just a better way of managing their facilities and their folks. So we have been in partnership with others, form teams to manage a number of the different facilities across environmental management, as well as National Nuclear Security Administration. I'll leave out, we also do DOD and NASA work as well, but just for this focus, maybe just run through a little bit of what we're doing now with respect to the DOE. So we are the MNO, the management and operations contractor for the Lawrence Livermore National Lab. And that's balanced with University of California. So really what we bring to those missions is a couple of things. You obviously, the easy one to understand is our approach to project management and our approach to getting infrastructure built and to managing facilities from an operational maintenance type perspective. And so we certainly bring in all of the capabilities and processes that we've developed there in our history in the right-sized way to, for instance, Lawrence Livermore, where we, a few years ago, it was recognized, just as it now has been recognized across the national security complex, that that we have to reinvest in replacing our aging facilities, but also build new capabilities to continue to develop the mission, a mission that's been growing. And so we established a project management office there where we injected our processes, some critical people, and our procedures and our tools to take on that growing set of capital projects at the lab. And that has been, I would think the customer, if you ask them, would note there's been many, many successes there where we've been balancing commercial execution and commercial processes with the balance of the critical capabilities that are needed and the quality and safety approaches that are needed to some of the facilities that support our nuclear deterrent.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Of course, yeah.
So for you as the MNO, is your contribution more in terms of, like, how do you manage this operation as opposed to being, you know, let's say involved in the specific science projects that, you know, the physicists and the chemists and the material scientists, you know, perhaps have been working on for long periods of time at, you know, Livermore. And it's like, how do you manage the buildings? How do you maintain them? How do you build new ones? How do you sort of budget all this stuff? How do you get accurate, you know, how do you request the right amount that you're going to need to do, you know, certain things? Is that the specialty that you bring, or are you involved in sort of end-to-end everything?
So as the MNO, what happens is you actually are a company that comes in with the sole purpose of managing facility. You hire for the most part, the incumbent human capital, the incumbent workforce that's been there for a while, but you do inject key management personnel into the organization, as well as One thing that we really spend a lot of time doing is understanding where the mission is, what all the specifics are of it, and are there areas where we could provide additional resources, actually working at the lab to promote some efficiency, to be able to bring forth the different toolkit and drive performance and management further, especially given the fact that the mission has been growing over the last, 5 to 8 years, I would say. So when it comes to specifics, for instance, we actually do a number of things. We have brought, we have teams that go through on a regular basis and provide, obviously we're responsible amongst the team of the other contractors that have come together with us, University of California being the other large one. We work together to make sure that the lab's budgets are correct. We've actually leaned in over the last few years to help do a deep dive and kind of rebuild the estimating processes at the lab, since they had not been doing capital projects work there for quite some time, and that was kind of a new, pretty huge workload we were taking on. And so we leaned into that. We also do what we called oversight management reviews, where we go in and knowing what's going on at the lab, if they're building a new facility or if they're struggling with a procedural process, we'll go in and send in some expertise from either other sites that we manage or from corporate to bring in best practices and help in that way. We, at some of the sites, what we've done is instituted a predictive management process for their existing facilities that says, okay, if you're able to gather these pieces of information, this type of data in the operation of a pump or a valve or a process, it should enable you to predict when you would go in and do maintenance, and therefore keeping the facility up and running, versus waiting for a breakage that then brings things offline. So it really depends on the scope and a deep embedment with the team to understand what's going on, to constantly change and add to how we're providing Bechtel-type value to the overall to the day-to-day operation. And I think it's worked out really well. I think we've got a great team. I think the lab has been performing great. The customer has been really happy with delivery and the mission success. We do the same thing at the Y-12 National Security Complex, where that's a Bechtel-led Consolidated Nuclear Security is the company that operates and manages that site. We are very much engaged in that production. That's a production site versus the design site that Livermore is, as you discussed in the beginning, Adam. Very much looking at efficiency and design. There's a huge amount of infrastructure. We're still, the teams there are still working for the most part out of Manhattan Project era buildings, and they're using the same processes. Doing great and increasing the mission, and under an increasing mission load, continuing to deliver year over year. But fortunately, there's been a recognition that's probably not the greatest way to go forward for the next 70 years when we talk about nuclear deterrent. And so one of the other things we do at these facilities is like the uranium processing facility, which is replacing all the uranium processing capabilities that Y-12 has today, using 70-year-old facilities. Replacing that with a state-of-the-art complex at the Y-12 site. Bechtel has done the engineering procurement. Construction is ongoing now, and we'll move into commissioning in 2027 and get that facility online by 2031. That's something that is, very clear of what Bechtel brings. It's first of a kind, engineering procurement and construction, supply chain management, soup to nuts delivery, and then as part of CNS and the receiving, I always say the folks that are going to catch the baby at the end of the day and have to operate it. It's been great that we're on the other side of that team as well, because it's a very well orchestrated partnership between the operating facility and the construction project. So that's a good bit of what we bring there. We're also at the waste isolation pilot plant. We're the sole manager and operator of the WIP facility in Carlsbad. So that's where the transuranic waste from Manhattan era and Cold War era processes are being stored. They're being received from all the sites around the U.S., being stored in a salt formation that's about 2,100 feet underground, about a half mile underground. The thing that we took that over as M&O in 2022. And I think what we've brought there is a great mix. I mentioned we do mining and metals. So we have great resources. While it's not specifically called a mining site, we are mining in that salt formation to create the areas in which the waste is being stored. So we were able to bring in some great mining management expertise there and people there who are now working at the site and really add to the great workforce that already existed there. And then there's been some really important infrastructure modifications there, the most important being the safety significant confinement ventilation system, essentially replacing the HVAC system for the underground. And that was a project that was struggling a bit, I'll admit, when we took it and we stepped in. And we recently have reached a critical decision 4 on that ahead of schedule and under budget. So really brought in some folks from our nuclear power who just completed the Vogtle units, brought them in to drive that scope in a way that was a little bit different than it had been in the past. And really demonstrating, I think, that operational value coupled with the strong project management skill set. And I think that's really what DOE has always been hoping to achieve in bringing in these industry partners is a difference in deep-seated expertise that is gained from a vaster amount of projects and processes.
This episode of NucleCast is brought to you by the Ann Law Deterrent Center, whose mission is to educate Americans about the nuclear enterprise and strategic deterrence.
So for you and Bechtel, as you, let's say you mentioned earlier that, you know, you just completed a project in Saudi Arabia and, you know, that's, you know, a subway system, I think is what you said.
Yeah. The Riyadh metro system. Yeah.
So you do that and then you've got to, let's say, pivot to, you know, nuclear related stuff and, you know, infrastructure. How hard is it to take the lessons and the things that you've learned? Because, you know, this is sort of clearly what private industry is really good at, right? Private industry works on the exact opposite sort of model. I mean, government says, you know, you have a government agency, they go to the Congress and they say, hey, for me to do the same job, I need more money. Mm. Private industry says, hey, I'll do the same job for less money. And then that's how you win contracts and make money. And so it's a very different model. But then when you have to switch from sort of, you know, building private infrastructure to building infrastructure that is in this very highly controlled, your pipe fitters, everybody's got to have clearances, the environmental protection is so much greater. How hard is that transition to move from one to the other and, you know, sort of seamlessly?
Yeah. So I would say two things is Bechtel is a very diverse company. So the organization that built the Riyadh Metro is a different part of the company than my organization. Sure. However, the project director for that project is actually now overseeing all of our DOE work and had come out of WTP and the Kwajalein in the Marshall Tolls management work. So we move people around quite a bit because there is, you need to, when you come into government and especially nuclear in the government, it is different. It's more complex for different reasons, because of the safety and the criticality of making sure everything is just done with complete compliance to procedures, et cetera. And so you need to have that appreciation. And I think it's really important you be careful in not bringing in folks that don't have that, because there is a lot of best practice and understanding that takes time to build up. But I think we do a really good job of balancing that and creating these integrated teams that have a balance between who has the exact experience base on the work that we're talking about, and then who can bring the best practices from the other work that we do. At the end of the day, while the requirements or the tolerances that you may need to meet for construction are different, planning and executing construction is not. So our tools and processes in looking at advanced work packaging, for instance, which just means that I know to start up this facility, the following things in the following order need to be done. So I back it all the way up to meaning I need to get the engineering and procurement done in this order. And that's how it flows through, with the whole goal of making the craft professional in the field super efficient and making their job as easy as possible. That's consistent. So our toolkits are relatively consistent. There is a little bit, especially when you're dealing with nuclear and cybersecurity limitations on some of the Bluetooth type devices and things like that. But we really try to move people around in the company enough that we are learning from each other and bringing the best practices from our overall project execution experience to any single technology or market. So it's that coupling of really deep-seated, embedded understanding of the mission and the nuclear requirements and the process with folks that really have a great basis in project execution. And how do you bring those together in the right way that both is served in the best way?
Okay. Yeah, interesting discussion. So I'm just looking at the clock and I don't want to run out of time. So sure. I also want to talk about the nuclear power work you're doing.
Sure.
Can you sort of fill us in on what's going on there? And you mentioned it a little while ago, but tell us more about that.
Yeah, I could talk about nuclear power all day long because that's where I started. So it feels super comfortable for me. And it's just a really exciting time. I don't think if you've been awake and paying attention in recent years, the great thing about the nuclear power market today is it's in a point of growth and recognition that nuclear is clean, it's efficient, it's baseload, it's provides energy security, and it's cost effective in the long run. And so I think it's now nonpartisan. I think everybody understands that it has to be a big part of not only our mix in the U.S., but for energy security and what we're seeing in global politics, really important to the vast majority of the world at this point. And countries are kind of changing their stances in some cases on nuclear power. So Bechtel has been, you know, really involved in nuclear power since the 1950s when it started. We've built 150 plants around the world, contributed to 76,000 megawatts. And we just recently completed the Vogtle plant in Georgia, the first U.S. nuclear new build in over 30 years. So we are committed. We have been committed. We've always stayed passionate about nuclear. I think at this point in time, similar to what we just talked about, we're taking that really deep-seated experience and knowledge of how to build a super complex mega nuclear project or a smaller repeatable nuclear project and that history, and bringing with it all of our mega project experience in digital delivery, construction planning and efficiency, supply chain innovations and vertical integration, and applying that to how are we going to bring about the new fleet. There's a lot of things going on, the hyperscalers, Google, Amazon, driving energy needs. really wanting to drive nuclear as a solution to that, which I really applaud them for taking that on. We currently have multiple new nuclear projects going on. We're working on 3 Westinghouse AP1000 units in Poland. That'll be their first nuclear builds. We're working with the Tennessee Valley Authority on the first small modular reactor build in the U.S., which is GE Hitachi's 300 megawatt size plant. And then we're working with TerraPower in building their Natrium advanced power project in Kemmerer, Wyoming. So we have those 3 things going on. Super excited for those projects. Our teams are really leaning into our long-term experience in nuclear, but a very different delivery process and model that's been developed and honed on all of our other projects over the last 30 plus years. So it's kind of a really, really, really great time. And I am super excited about the potential there, not just for Bechtel, but for the country, security, global politics. I think nuclear just hits so many of the targets there.
Yeah, it's something that's had a long time coming. And so, yes. And I've got a 15-year-old and he wants to be a nuclear engineer. And so we've been trying to figure out, just what is the prospects for somebody. And he's wondering, should I get a mechanical engineering degree or do I get a nuclear engineering degree or engineering physics? What do I do? And, and so we've been trying to figure this out for him because he wants to, run a power plant one day. So that's sort of his aspiration, but so we're watching it carefully and hoping for success.
I would say he can't go wrong in any of those. Yeah.
So let me ask you for you and for MNOs and just running, whether it's, the manufacturing side or the sort of the design side of NNSA Labs, what are the biggest challenges you face?
Honestly, everything has its challenges, which makes the work super interesting. I think if you had asked me a few years ago, I would have said workforce, where we were seeing so many people moving in a loss of either through retirements or attrition of the folks that have been around for a long time and really know how to get these things done. I think we're much over that hump. I think that also forced us to be much more strategic in looking at our talent development and transition planning and moving people around. Plus, there was a big infusion of people. A lot of these facilities, over about 50% of folks that are there and working there now have less than 5 years time at the lab or at the facility. And I like to look at that as a huge opportunity to take people who are thinking a little bit differently to push us forward. And actually, I think that has been working out really, really well. I think there's a huge growth in the mission, whether or not that's infrastructure builds through the blueprint that NNSA put out on what they're going to need to do over the next 15 to 25 years in infrastructure build. I think that's going to take a lot of partnering and planning. I wouldn't say it's a challenge because I really see NNSA and DOE leaning in to the contractor partnerships and saying, you tell us how we can, just like any really good PM would do, tell me what I need to do to get things out of your way so you can be most efficient in getting the mission done. And that has been such a tremendous partnership. I really, really we've been fortunate, and I've applauded the leadership at NNSA, DOE, and EM for leaning in that way, and for the contractor industry and stepping up and saying, this is what it would take, and really kind of knocking down those barriers. I think that's gone really, really well. But we are still going to have to meet that mission. And I think that is going to be a challenge in funding, in people resources, in craft professionals, in skill set. So I think the more we can do to get out in front and plan, make sure funding is there in a consistent way so that we don't upset project execution or operational execution. And then just stick to the plan, keep change and distraction away, and let the teams work. That's kind of what's going on, I see, across whether or not it's a design site or whether or not it's a production site or even a project. All of those things kind of ring true.
Yeah. Now, it's that time in the show where I like to bring out Bob the Genie. So as I rub my magic lamp.
You're scaring me a little bit, Adam.
Bob gets through. You got three wishes now. I've already rubbed the lamp.
Okay.
Now they've got to deal with our, you know, our topics. So,
okay.
So, okay. Dina, mm-hmm. What is your first wish?
I'll take on the national security, because I don't think you can wake up without thinking about that every day. I think that we, as a nation, as companies, as individuals, we continue to focus on and support national security in a way that that drives and fosters relative peace. So I got my global peace wish in through national security. Yeah. You're going to want more, aren't you? The next one, I think, kind of building on our discussion on nuclear power, mm-hmm. I think my wish would be that, because like you said, we've been knocking at this door before, and for one reason or another, it hasn't opened, or maybe it's opened a crack, not all the way. I think that my wish would be that the nuclear industry and all of its stakeholders, so that's whether or not that's the off-takers, the technology providers, the contractors, the operators, that we all really capitalize on the current momentum. And we turn that into projects, and those projects into standardized, replicated design build-outs that deliver on the ability to get really dialed in on execution and reliability of cost and schedule. And then that ultimately provides abundant clean energy, because it's really energy that history has shown that's what drives resilience in our communities, health in our communities, growth in our communities. So, and then I'm going to cheat and I'm going to say those two are big enough to count as three. How does that go? Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'll just, you know, I'll think, Bob, you know, I'll give him a little bit of a break. And so he only has to handle two. So as we sort of wrap the podcast up, and, you know, if you've got an elevator speech, you know, that you want our listeners to remember, you know, 6 months or a year from now about Bechtel, what is that thing that you want them to keep in their minds?
I think when it comes to whether nuclear security infrastructure or nuclear power infrastructure, Bechtel is, and our teams are on a mission to leverage our experience from the past and utilize innovation and proven project execution practices to deliver projects for our customers, for the nation, with confidence and safety, schedule, quality, and budget performance. And I think we are uniquely positioned and uniquely experienced to provide that performance excellence. And I look forward to continuing to be able to be really, really helpful in those ways.
All right. Dina Volivar, thanks for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
Of
thanks, Adam.
And
awesome.
Thanks. And thanks to you, the listeners, and we'll see you on the next episode.
This has been a production of the ANWA Deterrence Center, a 501c3 that seeks to educate key decision makers, stakeholders, and the public to ensure a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrent. Our executive producer is Kimberly Charrington, and this episode has been engineered and mixed by David Krumpel. Help us grow our followers by sharing it and follow the show on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at NuclearCast.